Scripture this morning is Matthew 21, 1 through 11. The title of the message is A Different Kind of King and a Different Kind of Kingdom. Now, I'm sure all of us know at least one person. We all know somebody who has heirs. They're arrogant. They're elitist. They're prideful. They could be friends, family, employees, employers, political leaders, religious leaders, and it just strikes us the wrong way. Now, especially when it's coming from somebody who has authority over you. To have that kind of arrogance, that kind of pride, to want everything to be focused upon themselves. Well, in Jesus, we have a very different kind of king. And he ushers in a very different kind of kingdom. This morning's scripture is on the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So Matthew 21, starting at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now that prophecy comes from Zechariah 9:9. Prophet says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Not only to be fulfilling prophecy, but also because for the Jews, the donkey was considered an animal of peace as opposed to a war horse. And before using a horse became common practice, the donkey was considered a royal mount. In fact, the Bible documents that the royal mount used by David and his sons was the mule. So not only was Jesus fulfilling prophecy, not only was he coming in gently, with humility, with salvation in his very hands, but he was also showing the line of David. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, by contrast, modern leaders, whether here or anywhere else, do not travel so humbly. The President of the United States rides on Air Force One. 4,000 square feet, 5 cooks, full security detail, all his staff, living quarters in the nose, and he also has transport planes go ahead of him to carry the armored Suburbans and the armored limousines. Multiple ones, if he's making multiple stops. They guard his fuel before and after for at least 72 hours. He is met virtually every place with a red carpet, by heads of state, to a band, instead of a crowd shouting Hosanna, waving palms, and laying their cloaks in front. For the British Prime Minister, he travels in a similar manner, but his country estate is called Chequers. And it's literally virtually a castle, a massive estate. That's the summer estate for all British prime ministers. The Romans would ride in on a war horse, were in a chariot. It is said that Marcus Aurelius had hired a servant to stand behind him on his chariot as he rode into Rome, being cheered by the throngs. Servant's only job was to lean forward and whisper in his ear, "You are only a man. Only a man." Herod, king at the time, Jesus' time in Jerusalem, had a palace, the full court, all the pomp and circumstance. Yet, Jesus had none of those. But yet, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Creator of all, when he rode in with salvation in his hands, fulfilling the prophecy. For Bible states, Jesus said, "I didn't come to be served, but to serve." Now, I don't begrudge the president, the prime minister, or any leader their pomp and circumstance, their security, and their travel arrangements. But what I can respect is the Creator showing that kind of humility. It could have been different, but it wasn't. He fulfilled what was in here, showing a servant's heart, even as he was king of all, but reaches out to us with his own hands. Not a person to hammer us on the head, but to hold us in his own arms. Not one to try and limit us in who and what we are, but accepts us as who and what we are. Because as he says in the Old Testament, "I knit you together in your mother's womb." He knows every hair of our heads, everything about us, and loves us that much and that desperately. As we enter this holy week, as we finish celebrating Palm Sunday, think about a king, a Lord, a Savior, that mighty, that loving. For there will come a time when we will stand before him. And standing before him, the image we'll also see will be that, an empty cross, a Savior, a Lord, worthy enough that we bow our heads before his nail-scarred hands, we bend our knees before his nail-scarred feet. Our King. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for filling us to overflowing. We thank you for leading, guiding, and directing us, Father. Father, we thank you for this time to celebrate your Son's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We thank you for this time to celebrate the beginning of the Holy Week, leading into Good Friday, where your Son paid our debt, making it possible for us to be reconciled to you. And the following Sunday, where we can celebrate that he rose again. Our promise of salvation, not only here, but a life everlasting. Father, we thank you for that love, mercy, and grace. We ask you to be with us today, through this week, through our lives. Father, we ask that we leave here different than how we arrived. In your blessed Son's name we pray. Amen.